Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is May Day, May 1st, 2017. For Democrats, it is a national holiday. For free market people, well, we'll think otherwise. But today, it's time for Mickey Fulp's monthly major market review for April 2017. Good morning, Mickey.
Hey, Kerry. How are you? Socialists unite today, huh?
Hey, well, everybody, every interest group is entitled to a holiday under our current political system. This is theirs. But for us,
when's the left-handed holiday? I'm waiting for that one, Kerry.
We aren't getting one, Mickey. That's one interest group they have no interest in. But yeah,
I know. Well, it's because we're 1/7 of the population. We're not that noisy yet.
But a disproportionate share of presidents have been left-handed. You know,
and
that.
Baseball players and tennis players and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. So left, right. But the markets speak the truth, right?
Well, they speak the truth in the fact that prices and value are whatever the market says it is.
Right. And so for April, actually it was a pretty good month for the stock markets yet again.
Well, they're pushing back toward their March 1st highs. The Dow closed at 29.41, up over 1%. S&P 500 up almost 1% at 23.84. I think that's about 12 or 14 points off its all-time high. The NASDAQ was just soaring, Kerry. Blew right through the 6,000 value and ended up at 6,048 for a 2.3% gain. I saw a tidbit today that Apple is sitting on $250 billion in cash and trying to figure out if they're going to dividend to shareholders. Oh, my gosh. There's something wrong with that take, huh?
Well, look at all the shares they could buy back.
Yeah, exactly. And finally, Russell 2000 hit an all-time high and even 1,400 for 1% gain as Trump continues to remove regs on business,
which is especially small business. Which is a great thing.
Yep, and a pending tax plan with 15% corporate tax. Everybody loves that.
Oh, if you own a business, any kind, and it applies to law firms, it applies to hedge funds, and it applies to mom and pop delis. It
applies to us, Kerry.
Yeah. Well, I said mom and pop delis, right?
Well, yeah, but you're not a mom. Well, you are a pop, and I'm neither of the above, but yeah.
And maybe I'll open a deli because I'm so upbeat and optimistic over the tax plan.
Kerry, you have the right heritage, and you came from the right part of the world to open a deli. So
yeah, but I hate to cook. That's my
The thing with a deli is you don't have to cook.
Well, somebody's got to cook the
right,
stuff that you serve.
It's all cold cuts and, you know, you just call up Boar's Head and say, yeah, hey, send me some of that Braunschweiger there that we all love.
Yeah. So
and hard to find in New Mexico.
Yeah. So the TSX was up, huh?
Well, just a tad. It closed at 15,586. Now, that's still about 400 points or 350 points off its all-time high. It was basically flat for the month for a 0.2% gain. And I think that had to do with a malaise in commodities and also Trump starting to wage trade war on the Canadians. It becomes Wisconsin milk versus B.C., timber, lumber. He has backed off his, we're going to get rid of NAFTA and is negotiating with both the Mexicans and the Canadians. But this does not bode well for Canada, I don't think. The Toronto Venture Exchange, essentially with some ups and downs, has been flat since the end of January. This month is characterized by very low volumes. There was some rebalancing of the junior gold index, GDXJ. So Toronto Venture Exchange closed down 1% at 807. The emerging market index we track, MSCI, had another very nice month, up to 978 for a 2% gain. Doing this in my head, but it looks like that index is above, well above 13% for the year. And as I scroll down, it looks like July of 2015 since that index has been this high. And finally, the VIX ended up very low, at less than 11, 10.82. But that was after it hit about a week. It was pushing 14, and that was when all the kabbalah was going on with Syria and North Korea in the mid of early to mid month.
Yeah, and it's down lower, I think, than it's ever been since we started tracking this erstwhile indicator. Yep, it definitely is. We never saw it get this low before. All-time low.
Right.
Usually when it gets below that 12, something happens. And
a lot of people think that's very bearish for the market. So, but the markets keep going. So, you know, it took a little pause. But the last couple of weeks, we're starting to roar again. And a lot of that, at least in the U.S. market, you know, Trump rolled out his tax plan. All of a sudden, it became risk off with the French election. Looks like they're going to stay in the Euro or European Union, et cetera. So all of a sudden, it's become risk on again.
Interesting the way all this works. But we look at the buck, the U.S. dollar, the greenback for April, and it broke the 100 range again.
Yeah, Trump wants a weak dollar, and he's getting what he wants. Finished the month, it actually dipped below 98 briefly, finished the month at 99.05 for more than a percent loss. Euro, very much stronger with the French election, the runoff pending. It looks like, now we never know, but Le Pen will not be elected. And so European Union very much likes that. And so the euro was up to 109 for about a 6 month high. 10-year treasuries, rates were lower this month. Bond market remains quite weak. Closed at 2.29, down almost 5% for the month. Low interest rates are the normal paradigm now. And finally, Bitcoin hit an all-time high, up 22% to 1320. I will defer to you on Bitcoin.
Yeah, well, nobody knows exactly why, but it probably has something to do with China. Perhaps it has something to do with the controls that the Canadians are contemplating on real estate for foreign investors. Who knows?
That's an interesting take.
Yeah. You know, it's an alternative. Look, the Chinese theme for Chinese investors, people with money in China, is how do we get it out?
Oh, absolutely. That's
really what it comes down to. Because unlike here, where you can lose everything by dint of the government, at least you can see it coming. In China, one day you could be in with the powerful, the favorites, and the next minute you find yourself in jail with no due process and all your properties taken.
Or a bullet in the back of your head.
Yeah, well, if you're really unlucky, that could definitely happen. So that's
okay, let's
my
go
take.
On.
and then we look at the metals, kind of a lackluster mixed picture there.
Yeah, the precious metals, gold especially, broke resistance on all this geopolitical snags that we hit mid to late month, but then they failed to hold. Gold broke above 1280, which was pretty strong resistance. It made it all the way intraday to 1295, and then it's continued to go downhill as the risk on comes back with the U.S. market. So gold closed at 1268, actually up 1.5%, but it gave back most of its gains last week of the month. Silver had a very bad month, fell below $18, finished at $17.16 for a loss of 6%, more or less. Platinum was down 4 $1,000 for the month, closed at $944. Palladium had a very nice month as the auto industry, both in China and U.S., keeps humming along, closed at $827. Geez, we haven't seen this level, Kerry. I'm looking down since, oh my gosh.
I know.
Last time we saw palladium this high was back in the end of August of 2014. It had a 4% gain over the month at 827. Copper had a bit of a rough month. A couple of strikes were resolved. The geopolitical risk for Newmont in Indonesia eased somewhat at the Grasberg. We don't expect that to be resolved to Newmont's favor eventually, but at least they were not nationalized. Hit a three-month low at 251 intra-month, but closed at 259. Still lost almost 2% for the month. That said, still remain pretty bullish on copper in the short to midterm.
All right. And then we look at our energy and oil down. So what's going on here?
Well, oil had a very up and down month. It made it back up as high as 52 bucks or something like that before it gave back its gains. Closed at 49.19 for a 3% loss. I mean, it's really become a matter of U.S. shale oil is trumping OPEC and non-OPEC production cuts. Rig counts have been up every week. I don't know how many weeks and months in a row right now, but you look and U.S. rig counts are going up anywhere from 10 to 20 or more rigs operating every week, most of those in the Permian Basin. I think about 40% of the rigs drilling are in the Permian Basin. So, you know, it's very much in control of speculators and goes up and down depending on news and rumors from the oil patch, kind of like a scout driller sitting out there 2 miles from a rig on the hill with his binoculars figuring out what the competition is doing. Brent, 51.73, lost 3%. So meanwhile, Henry Hub had a pretty nice month. It was up 6% to 328, but I'm going to caution everybody. I could not get closing spot prices on Friday, and this is a 1 month future price. So it'll be a couple of days more before we'll have that spot price. So I expect it to be a little bit lower than that. Nevertheless, it will have gained over the month.
Interesting that it was up and. Were they expecting a hot summer? What's going on with it here?
I don't know. This is usually a downtime for gas markets, kind of in between the winter heating season and anticipation of the summer cooling season. I don't think that price is exactly current, so we'll